Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Alongside Bally Sports' Stephen Watson, here's Gabe Neitzel.
On the tee, we are excited. It is Masters Week, of course, on the tee, presented by our friends at Wisconsin Golf Trips. Don't forget, you can text GOLF right now, G-O-L-F, to 800-990-3776. Get more details on that trip to Scotland that we are taking. Of course, we're excited for that in October. But this is the week that we wait for. When it is crappy and miserable and cold in late January and early February, the wind is just cutting through you and you can't see anything green and it is dark at 4:30. Masters Week, Stephen, is the one we're always looking forward to. It's the one we are always most excited for. Not just because it's the first major of the year. That certainly, I think, plays a factor, but the tradition and everything else that goes with Augusta National and the Masters.
It's the most wonderful week of the year for not only in the game of golf, but I would argue in all of sport. A lot of people like to take opening weekend of March Madness or the divisional round of NFL playoffs. I think the buildup coming off of a winter to what the Masters means to the sport, what the pictures, what the audio, the hello friends, the little jingle that you hear on your TV, you know, weeks and months in advance leading up to CBS's coverage of it. Something about the Masters is just special. And I think where the game of golf is right now, this is one of the most anticipated Masters that we've seen in recent memory, Gabe.
Yeah, it is, because the game's finally coming together. You've got the guys who set the game on fire going, why is the game broken down in Miami this past weekend over at LIV going, hey, we should really come back together. Oh, really, Bryson? What an idea. How do you think we got to this point? What do you think drove it to now where, oh man, and we better hurry because people are losing interest. Man, like, you're the dude who lit the house on fire. Now you're looking around going, huh? Somebody going to call the fire department? What's going on here, man? The house is on fire. I can't believe it's on fire. Well, I did that? No. And so, but again, everybody's coming together.
Yeah.
And
that whole thing was the least surprising development in the game of golf, was the LIV guys being like, yeah, we're just waiting for everybody to come together. I mean, yeah, that's what we've been waiting for. We're the good guys, right? Get out of here.
You're the ones.
Clowns.
Yeah, you're the ones who broke it all up, and now people are upset. But I digress, because there are 13 members of the LIV Golf Tour coming together with the PGA Tour guys for a field, I believe, of 89, thanks to dislocated shoulder boy himself, Akshay Bhatia, winning in a playoff in the Valero Texas Open. So the field continued to grow the last couple of weeks on the PGA Tour. But this is always a week, and honestly, I think the weather we got outside today in the state of Wisconsin helped. It was clearly the best day of the year, not even close to anything else. It was fantastic outside today. Hope you got to get some golf in. I'm going to try to sneak in some golf tomorrow. I don't know when you're going to sneak golf in. But this is the tradition, and the Masters is one of those things that, for me, especially in my adult years, has helped keep time. You know, because there's a rhythmic nature to it, because it's always this weekend and it's always Augusta National, and you know, there's always this consistency to it. And I got the notification on my phone today. It was 5 years ago today that I was at Augusta National with my mom.
That's awesome.
Right? And that's always something that me and her are going to have, that we got to walk on a Monday, the practice, you know, during a practice round, got to take the pictures because you can bring the camera in. Still can't bring the phone in the practice round, but the first couple of days, you can bring a camera in and take a bunch of pictures, which I did and have on my phone. And those are just the memories that I have. And, you know, honestly, and maybe it's because I can name just about every Masters champion going back to like 1995, I think.
98.
Where I can, 97, you mean?
No, I was going to ask you who won in 98.
Oh, it was Marco Mira.
Okay.
I thought you were saying, Marco Mira was 98. But it helps, like, oh, 1998, here's where I was at my life. Here's where and because it's meant something like that to me, and I know I'm not the only golf fan that's like that, where, and I think that's why Augusta in these four events that mean so much in the world of golf now, Augusta continues to separate itself because of the pageantry, because of the tradition, because of everything else that goes into what that place is and what golf is today.
They hold themselves at a different and higher standard. The players admit it. Any person who has attended, you would agree. I have not been there yet. It is number one and 1A and 1B on my golf bucket list. Literally, I was with my dad this past weekend, and I said to him, we need to just do this. Like, we got to stop talking about it. We need to do it. So I hope we get those memories that you had with your mom. The thing I appreciate about the Masters is it's all about the details. It's every blade of grass. It's every flower, making sure they're blooming at the exact same time. It's even to the point, Gabe, where they've got eclipse glasses for today.
They did. I saw those.
Custom eclipse glasses for those in attendance to watch the eclipse.
Yeah.
While you're here at Augusta, enjoying one of the greatest pieces of golf architecture and layout and, you know, what else? Vibe, energy. Here are your custom Masters eclipse glasses. I mean, what can't this place do? The hype videos are better than anything else. The build-up, I get so fired up for this week.
Yeah, and they've done in the past, they've always left you wanting more, right? I mean, when we were growing up, you mentioned 1998 when Marco Mira won, or the year before when the most famous thing in the history of golf happened and Tiger Woods ran away with everything in 1997. Like, you only got, like, the back nine. Maybe a taste of what the last couple of holes on the front nine, because it was a very tight TV window. And they continue to evolve to the point where it's the best sports app, period. Like, you want to see highlights? Boom. Easy to see highlights. Easy to follow all your players. Yeah. They literally have shots of everybody in the field. You can follow them all around. And I know people complain about, oh, I wish it was on TV more. Why does the TV window on ESPN not start till 2? Well, if you open up the app or you go to ESPN Plus, you can open up that thing and see Jack hit that, you know, opening tee shot.
Yep.
They have coverage from wall to wall. It's not traditional by any stretch of the imagination, but it's all free through the Masters app. And they've gotten ahead of what this digital age has become. And again, with that Masters app, you can have as much access as you want watching a golf tournament.
Yeah, they're the gold standard in streaming sports. I've never seen anything like what the Masters app is able to pull off and offer fans. They do it because they have a whole lot of money. And they don't necessarily care about making profits off of their app. They just know we're the Masters, we're different, go enjoy yourself, and that's what makes this place special. And I feel like they've maximized the window and the understanding of what it means to be a fan. I mentioned the hype videos. If you look at their social media accounts and you don't get fired up about what this week is going to be like and all that goes into it and the dedication that their entire team puts into it, then you're not a fan of sport, because it's everything about it is special.
Have to mention this as well, but it's Uncle Vern's last Masters.
Yeah.
40th and final one for Vern Lundquist, who, of course, has been the soundtrack as a number of different people have been that have worked in CBS. It hasn't just been, I would say he's probably the second most Augusta voice that I think of behind Jim Nantz, because of the Hello Friends, but so many memorable things have happened on that 16th hole where he has been stationed for, I know he's been doing, this is his 40th Masters. I don't know how long he's been at 16, because I know he was at 17 before he made the shift to the 16th tower, but he's provided the soundtrack for a lot of those events that have happened in Augusta. And of course, you think of in your life,
yeah.
The chip-in in 2005 had a great call on Tiger's shot, and 2019 as well on 16, which is probably Tiger's best shot of the day. So many great memories, because that's been such an important hole coming down the stretch.
You know what I was thinking about? Rumblings that Happy Gilmore 2 is coming out. I wonder if Vern's going to be on the call of that one. Just saying.
Who the hell is Happy Gilmore?
But Vern is a legend. You think Masters, of course you think Jim Nantz and you hear Hello Friends, but Vern is right up there for one of the iconic voices in the sport. And hearing him on 16 on that back nine Sunday is going to be really special.
Yeah, and he'll be a part of the broadcast all week long. So what if you had to boil it down to one thing? So you said the details. Is that your favorite thing about Augusta National?
Yeah, I think there's no stone unturned. There's no detail missed. Because I haven't been there yet, and I can't tell you what about the property I appreciate, I think, to steal your word from earlier, just the pageantry of it is really what I appreciate as a golf fan. It's something that you know is on the golf calendar every single year, and you know the grass is going to be perfectly green, the bunkers are going to be perfectly white, there's going to be birds chirping, whether they're real or not, that's another story, but... You know,
they'll be tripping on CBS.
Rays Creek is going to look perfect because they'll dye the water. And CBS and ESPN leading up to it will find every possible way to shoot it beautifully. And it's just an art. And that's what I appreciate about it. And the other thing is this major always delivers from a storyline perspective. Since we've been doing this show, Gabe, I mean, we saw Jon Rahm win. His first. We saw Scottie Scheffler win at Augusta.
With a four-putt.
With a four-putt. I'll never forget the scene when Hideki won.
Yeah.
And his caddy bowing to the course. And that's what, when I think about Augusta, I think about the storylines. I think of course, before this show started, the most enjoyable day I've ever had watching golf was Tiger winning there in 2019. And that back nine at Augusta, I remember every shot. I remember where I was. And, like, it makes me appreciate this sport to a whole new level and the fandom that I have during these 4 days that we get every single year, understanding that the back nine on Sunday always delivers.
On the tee, we are presented by our friends at Wisconsin Golf Trips, but also brought to you by our friends at X-Golf American Family Field. And right now, with X-Golf, yes, the season is going on for the Brewers, and you can book your sim time during games while also purchasing your game tickets. You can combine the two, and it's easy to do when you go to the Brewers ticket page. You buy the single game tickets. It is an option that you have there. And when you're up at X-Golf at American Family Field, they have great food, great beverage options, views of the field, views of Bernie Slide, and new this year at X-Golf. If you make a hole-in-one at X-Golf, playing a regular round of golf, has to be on the course, not the beat the pro thing that they have, not on the driving range, not a little practice. No, you're playing an actual round at X-Golf. You make an ace, you get to go down Bernie's slide. It is that easy. You get to go down Bernie's slide.
When are we doing this? I've covered the Brewers for 10 years, and I still haven't been down Bernie's slide.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe you got the ace last year. Maybe if you explain to them that you got an ace on a real course, maybe you'll be able to go down Bernie's slide as well. But you can do that all at xgolfamfamfield.com. Our favorite holes at Augusta. We discussed that on Masters Week here on the tee. Coming up next. Woo-hoo! On the tee, Masters Edition. It just always feels good to say. Of course, we're presented by our friends at Wisconsin Golf Trips. And this has kind of become, Stephen, a bit of a tradition now here at On the Tee, where first we're going to go through Jon Rahm's menu, which is going to be served at the Champions Dinner, which I believe is Tuesday night. So it'll be tomorrow night. And we're going to run through that menu, and then you have some, because, again, I claim to know all these different Masters champions going back to 1995, where you're going to quiz me on who I think came up with what menu.
You might know the champions, but do you know their taste in food? That's why I'm here, to provide the content for you, Gabe Neitzel.
Can you pronounce any of... Because the Rahm menu was released,
no,
they always do this. They drop it a couple of weeks before Augusta. And, again, what I've really come to love about when that gets dropped is how much guys have really grabbed onto their heritage, especially someone like Rahm. And there's a complicated history of Spain and the particular part of Spain, which his family connects to. And he wants to make sure he's got a lot of that reflected in his Champions Dinner.
Yeah. Pardon my ignorance, but I'm not going to make a fool out of myself and try and go full Spanish-speaking menu on you here. I was able to transcribe this back to English and roughly what these dishes are for Jon Rahm. He's going tapas menu to start off. Six-course tapas menu.
That's smart.
Some, you know, small plates, get everybody a little taste of flavor. You know, he's got a little special dish of his grandma's lentil soup that's going to be in there. It's a little local flavor, making, you know, mom and grandma proud. That's a recipe that's been passed down. He's got some ham, cured pork loin, black truffle cheese, Spanish omelet, confit potato, spicy chorizo, creamy chicken fritters. Those are all part of the tapas menu. Then we're going first course crab salad for John Rahm. Main course, ribeye or turbot. If you're not familiar with turbot, it is known as the king of fish. It's a very, very sought after and delicate and delicious fish. So many believe it is the best piece of fish that you can get.
I'm definitely a ribeye guy. But yeah. Again, if I'm attending this, I would probably go in with, okay, I want to try, like, you are putting your time, you're putting your heritage,
100%.
You're putting your history into this menu. I'm not going to order the cheeseburger off the, you know, Augusta menu, because that's the one thing that everybody gets confused as well. Like, you don't have to eat this if you don't want to. If you're a champion attending the champion's dinner, you can order off the regular Augusta National menu, whatever that consists of.
Man, we could do a whole segment on who we think orders off the Augusta menu instead of having the champions.
Bryson's not a champion, but Bryson would. Bryson, especially when he was going through his protein shake.
Patrick Reed definitely did.
Yeah, Patrick Reed.
Actually, the ribeye's on this. That was on his menu.
Okay.
So he's probably happy.
But you digress. So I would definitely go for the fish, even though I'm very much like a ribeye guy. I would go for the fish because I feel that's more authentic Spanish cuisine that Ron would be going
for. Yeah, turbot, known as king of fish. That sounds good to me. I'm going to try that. His dessert, puff pastry, cake, and custard. So solid rollout for John Rahm in his first champion's dinner. So here's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I am going to roll off a couple that caught my eye.
Okay.
And I have to give you menus that aren't too obvious because you are well-versed in past champions and where they came from. What I learned in looking through 30-plus menus of champions' Tuesday night dinners, a lot of guys from Texas on this list. A lot of
Crenshaw,
red meat.
Jordan Spieth,
Scheffler. Just a lot of red meat.
Where's Omira from? I don't know where Omira's from. I don't know. He's American, but I digress.
I will throw a quick shout out to Scotty Scheffler, who has one of the best menus that I have seen to date.
Okay.
From last year, he's starting off with cheeseburger sliders. Like that's a good way to just enter the chat and say, "Hey, I'm here to party here tonight." He also had some firecracker shrimp, main course, no surprise, Texas ribeye steak. He had some black and redfish, serve family-style mac, can't go wrong there, jalapeno cream corn, fried Brussels sprouts, seasoned fries, and then...
It's a bad idea doing it this close to dinner, by the way.
And then,
we should have skipped this segment. I mean, getting hungry.
If you're going to go dessert, he went with the most undefeated dessert of all time.
Cheesecake?
Warm chocolate chip skillet cookie with ice cream.
With ice cream, yeah.
I mean, if you don't like that dessert, I don't like you. So here is my first test for you, Gabe Neitzel.
All right.
Here is a menu. Pigs in a blanket, lobster corn fritters to start off.
You got
a choice of garden salad or Caesar salad to start.
Okay.
Main course, prime filet with mashed potatoes, spring vegetables, or a miso marinated sea bass. And for dessert, might get away. Peach cobbler and apple pie with vanilla ice cream for dessert. Another incredible choice for that dessert.
I mean, peach cobbler, apple pie, like, that's the most American desserts of all time. Man, I feel... So, I want to say Patrick Reed, because, like, especially at the time he was winning it...
I gave Patrick Reed away.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There was no Texas ribeye.
Just because with Patrick Reed, like, he was really leaning into the Captain America thing at the time, which he won with all his Ryder Cup stuff, so I thought, like, really leaning into that with the desserts. Okay, so it's not P. Reed. Is that Bubba?
No, but I'll get to Bubba. Bubba and I need to have a conversation. That is Dustin Johnson in 2021.
Okay. I thought it could be DJ. I'm like, this is the simplest, most American meal, and I overthought it.
Yep.
I overthought it with DJ. Should have known better.
All right. We're going to go to another menu. Somewhat similar, but, you know, I think when you... We did this last year, and we both had pretty similar, like, you want to go with a filet, you want to go with something nice. So I appreciate this menu because it's surf and turf on the grill, including lobster, appetizer of artichoke and arugula salad with calamari. Main course, I can't tell you where this meat is coming from. It would give it away.
Okay.
Wagyu beef, New York strip steak served with lobster, sautéed spinach, onion cream, mashed potatoes, desserts of strawberry and passion fruit pavlova. Are you familiar?
Oh, yeah.
Like a meringue-based dessert? Yeah. Chef's kiss. And a biscuit and vanilla sundae.
Okay, because you're telling me, like, with the Wagyu beef, if you told me, it'd be giving it away. Is that Hideki's?
No, Hideki went with a sashimi plate.
Oh, okay.
And miso-glazed fish of some sort. This is going back to 2014 Champions Dinner.
Oh, okay.
And the
that was
Wagyu
Adam
beef
Scott's.
Happened to come from Australia.
Australia, yeah, it's Adam Scott.
So, two incredible meals that stood out to me. Now I want to run through perhaps the greatest architect in the Champions Dinner.
The greatest Champions Dinner architect of all time.
And that's because he's got five shots at it, and that's Mr. Tiger Woods. 1998, at the ripe old age of 22 years old, Tiger Woods. Cheeseburgers,
yes.
Chicken sandwiches, French fries, milkshakes. How good would a Masters milkshake taste?
Yeah, I remember his, again, like, my favorite part about this is, so I remember his first Masters meal being very early 20s-ish,
yeah.
As you see there.
And again, he was a kid.
Like, the Masters meals reflect kind of who Tiger was at the time as we progressed through. It's amazing.
So, his next win, 2001, so the 2002 dinner, porterhouse steak with chicken and sushi appetizer, and the sushi would end up making its way into most of the meals in honor of his mom.
Yeah.
And then so 2003, because he went back-to-back, he brought back the porterhouse steak, chicken, sushi from the 2002 menu, but also added some sashimi, salads, crab cakes, asparagus, mashed potatoes, chocolate truffle cake. Things got weird in 2006 for Tiger Woods, because he went way outside the box. This is my favorite food.
Okay.
If I were to be on an island and you gave me chicken fajitas every single night, I'm living my dream. So, stuffed jalapeno and quesadilla appetizers with salsa, ooh, guacamole, green salad, steak fajitas, chicken fajitas, Mexican rice, refried beans, apple pie, and ice cream for dessert. That's a good menu from Tiger in 2006.
He really went with the Taco Tuesday theme there in 2006.
Yeah, good work. And then in 2020, he had this one famously at home with his family, because he won in 19, 20 there was a pandemic, so there was no Champions Dinner. He brought back kind of a mix of all of his meals. So he had an Augusta roll of tempura shrimp, spicy tuna, avocado, eel sauce, a whole lot of other ingredients inside of that sushi for Tiger. Main course of prime steak, chicken fajitas, grilled vegetables, refried beans, Mexican rice, pico de gallo, sour cream, guac, flour tortillas, and a trio of desserts. Some churros in there, some sopapillas, which is fried dough. So, Tiger Woods, the way that his menu has evolved
over the 20 years of him being able to host the Champions Dinner.
Really good stuff from Tiger. So, I'm glad you brought up Bubba Watson, because I need to have an intervention
with
the two-time champ.
Okay.
Because not only...
So, this would have been 13-15 in which he hosted the dinners.
What do you think he served?
That you're so offended by?
So I am incredibly offended.
What could he have possibly served? Did he just serve pizza?
He served grilled chicken.
Just straight up grilled chicken?
Grilled chicken.
Like Dan Orlovsky style?
Like, yeah, I mean, like there were probably like some salad. I don't know. I saw grilled chicken as the only option, and I was out. I'm sorry.
How often
do you go to a restaurant and get grilled chicken?
Never. I mean, usually if the chicken's grilled, it's in something else.
So if I earn the right to wear a green jacket,
yeah,
and I get to go to this well-documented, you know, meal that is supposed to bring out the most creative menu from the champion, and somebody served me grilled chicken, do you learn everything you need to know about that person?
It's kind of boring.
Here's the best part. He ran it back in 2015.
Well,
the same exact menu. But I will give Bubba...
Oh, sorry. I bet Bubba's dessert slapped. I bet his dessert slapped.
It slapped hard. I'll give Bubba his credit where credit is due. Funfetti cake with vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, okay. So you fill up on the funfetti and the ice cream that night versus the grilled chicken.
Grilled chicken. We need to be better than that. 2005 Champions Dinner. Phil Mickelson. Lobster ravioli, Caesar salad, garlic bread.
Yeah.
Doesn't do it for me.
Yeah. I mean, again, first major championship. Doesn't know what he's doing.
1994. Do you know whose dinner that would have been?
So the 93 champ, it would have been, was that like a Bernhard year?
Bernhard Langer. He served Thanksgiving. Turkey and dressing.
Okay. Hey, look. I love Thanksgiving. I love the Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah.
I mean, if Augusta's going to cook me that turkey and all the different sides, yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Thanksgiving has its day. And I think its day is probably too much already. Thanksgiving meal is the most overrated meal of the calendar year.
Okay, now we're going to fight about something else.
Would I eat it at Augusta?
Of course.
I eat the grass and dirt. But you got one shot.
Yeah.
And you throw out grilled chicken or a Thanksgiving meal? Come on. Be more creative. I just want creativity. I want a story.
You know what the one thing I think I would, as I've gotten older, I think I've respected more, it would probably serve at like a champion's dinner? If somebody does a pork chop right.
Oh, good pork chop is good. Like a good veal chop?
Yeah, exactly.
Well.
That's what I'm saying. Like, because everyone always just thinks steak, steak, steak. And I feel like I've had enough steak. I've made enough steaks in my life, Stephen, where, like, if I go to a nice steakhouse, are they going to do it better? Yes. Can I get close to that? Probably. Because it's just, you know, it's more about the cut of meat that you have. So if I want to go to Bunzel's and get a nice cut of meat,
yeah.
I can do that. It's
sear
more about,
it right.
Yeah. See, like, I can figure that out. But doing a pork chop or a veal chop, like, I can do that at home. I can't do it as well as they can do it at the restaurant at home. And I damn well sure can't do it as well as they do at Augusta National.
Veal chop would be pretty high on my list if I were to ever wear the green jacket and have to present a meal. What would your meal look like if you had a shot? Give me an appetizer, entree, dessert.
So the app, so I think I gave, I don't know about the app. I gotta think about that a little bit more. Definitely would do a pork chop, I think would kind of be the main, maybe offer some sort of other, you know, if I want it, you know, do a pork chop. Or I might even just do, if I want to lean into my Wisconsin heritage, do a fish fry. Like, ooh. Do an old fat, you know, just an old fashioned Wisconsin fish fry.
Nick Faldo did a fish fry.
Yeah, with the potato pancakes and the whole nine yards, right? For dessert, I would want my grandmother's cake roll, which is, if you've ever had like a Swiss, like those Little Debbie Swiss cake rolls, it's just a camera that fell in the studio. Don't worry about it. But she, like, it's homemade though. Like, yeah. it's a bigger roll that you then just slice those, and it's just, again, like whipped cream in the cake, and it's so good. And it's all homemade, and you can taste the love that only a grandmother can provide in a dessert like that.
Ooh, that sounds good. I, obviously, doing this research, have thought long and hard about what my menu would look like. I would probably start wedge salad, I think is a great way to kind of ease in. Nice, crisp wedge salad. Maybe even a lobster roll, like a mini lobster
roll.
Yeah,
lobster roll. It's hard to go wrong with a lobster roll.
Yeah, just something like that. I would also go to my roots. I'm from Philadelphia. And
cheesesteak?
Looking at the Adam Scott Wagyu beef thing made me think about, like, what about a high-end cheesesteak?
Yeah.
Make it with Wagyu beef?
Oh, yeah. You can't go wrong.
Like a Wagyu cheesesteak would be probably on my thing, and maybe some crispy steak fries.
Sure.
Or add a little truffle in there and just do... Not a very healthy meal, but who's going to turn down a Wagyu beef cheesesteak with truffle fries?
Well, again, the only one who seemingly went to at least a little bit healthy was Bubba with his just plain-ass grilled chicken.
Yeah, and then I would definitely copy Scotty Scheffler. I mean, I'm going warm chocolate chip cookie skillet, maybe like a little sprinkle of Reese's peanut butter cups on there.
Okay.
And then a la mode with a little vanilla bean ice cream.
Throw a little ice cream on there as it starts to melt. We're starting to get hungry. We got to talk about something else, like our favorite holes at Augusta National. But we also have our favorite holes at Erin Hills. And you can be playing Erin Hills. It's Golf Digest's 10th-ranked public course in the nation. They've got great overnight accommodations with the championship golf experience, and they continue to add to the different things you can do there, whether it's the putting course and the Drumlin that they have there, the kettle loop that they have out there. It's fantastic. And, of course, Erin Hills hosting the 2025 U.S. Open Women's Open Championship. Always learn more about our friends at Erin Hills at erinhills.com. If you're going to do a Masters preview show, of course you have to talk about the star of the show. And that's the golf course itself.
Yeah.
Because even if you haven't been there, you still know the golf course. If you're a fan of professional golf, if you're a fan of Augusta, and Augusta knows this, which is why they put on the Augusta National Women's Amateur, people are going to tune in just to watch Augusta because they know the golf course. They want to see people play the golf course. You have so many specific memories tied to so many specific holes. And I think that's part of what also just makes this special because you've come to know the place even if you haven't been there, Stephen.
And I have to give a shout out to the camera crews this weekend at the ANWA because I saw some new camera angles, a couple of holes that they shot low that really, really showed off the course character a little bit and the undulation. And that's something that everybody always tells me who's been there. It's way hillier than you could even possibly imagine on television. So I think the thing about this golf course, I talked about how it's pristine and everything looks right and how it's always shot well on TV. But the green complexes are insane. And where you miss matters so much. And it just dares you because not much changes. There were some changes on 13 last year that we talked about on this show, you know, moving the tee shot back a little bit. But for the most part, course is unchanged. And it just dares you. And it tests you every single year. And I think that's my favorite part about it is the intimidation factor that Augusta National presents.
What is your favorite hole at Augusta National?
Number 12. It might be my favorite hole in the world. And I think the storylines, where it sits on the golf course, what it has meant to the history of this game. But above all else, I think my favorite thing about 12 is that the gallery's behind you. And it's just you staring at a green, at the azaleas behind it and the bushes behind it, and you understanding the history of what's happened on that hole and the demons that live above the trees in the wind that has dictated past champions. Francesco Molinari would like a word there. You know that,
but he wasn't the only one who rinsed it. If Brooks doesn't rinse it that day too in 2019,
exactly. I mean Jordan Spieth
doesn't rinse it. He goes back to back. He wins in 15 and 16.
We have plenty of Jordan crying memes in the shape of number 12 that I saw after Jordan Spieth, dunked it on 12 in his effort to go back to back.
Famously, if the ball does not hang up, Fred Couples is not a major champion.
Yeah, and
it somehow miraculously held up on 12, and he got up and down for par.
That hole always deliver because there's always going to be somebody who gets too aggressive with it, and the risk reward on that hole is incredible television. The scoring average is over 3.2. It's one of the hardest holes at Augusta.
Yep,
and it's the shortest hole at Augusta, and that's what I love about it. How about you?
I'm going to cheat, and I'm just going to say the par fives.
Yeah, they're all amazing.
Because they're all great in their own right, and I feel there are other scoring holes at Augusta. But you mentioned how the shortest hole is really hard. The shortest par four isn't just like, oh, I'm going to bomb it up there with hole three. Like, you have to strategically place your golf ball because of how tricky the green is at three. So I feel like the true scoring holes at Augusta, and depending upon where the balls are, I mean, you can use slopes and certainly have them, but the par fives, and maybe this is just the Tigerification of golf and this golf course in particular, the par fives are just so damn important. But you still have to hit quality shots in order to make your birdies there. But you know you have to walk away with probably three birdies in those four holes. And they're all unique and special in their own way. Of course, two just whipping down left around the corner, just so severely downhill. Eight is so severely uphill, it's a blind shot if you're going for it in two. 13, and then 13 and 15 have just been so special to what Augusta's meant. Usually something important is happening on those holes. 15 is where Tiger took the lead for the first time in 2019. It's where Jack Nicklaus in 1986 was able to get home in two. It's, you know, so many important things I feel have happened on 13 and 18. And why I didn't mind 13 being lengthened, because I think it brings some of the dramatic nature back into the hole.
Yeah, guys were able to cut the corner. They're just getting so long. The thing I love about 13 is that approach shot. You know, you have to hit a perfect approach shot over the water and Ray's Creek that just runs along there. And then 15, my hands are shaking at home thinking about the nippy wedge shot that guys have to hit to that green over
the
water.
If you lay up.
Because if you're short, you're dead. If you're long, you're dead.
Well, and good luck laying up, by the way. because it's so severely downhill, you're not really finding a flat spot.
Exactly.
So now you have to find the perfect spot. You got to be in the right spot depending upon where the pin is. Use the slopes. Be able to use the ball above or below your feet with those slopes. It's not just your, okay, I got to lay up. No, even if you drive one in the rough or if you find yourself behind the trees on the left, like you have to be smart about where you're placing your layup if you want to hit a good wedge shot in order to get it close for a chance at a birdie.
Plus, 15's name of the hole, Firethorn. It's just really cool. I love that every hole is named after.
Yeah, and it's named after, I believe, 13 is Azalea.
Yes. 12 is Golden Bell.
Yeah, it's all named after the different flowers and agriculture down there on the golf course. We're going to give our predictions coming up next. Wisconsin Golf Trips brings you On the Tee, and Jason does such a great job. Initially, his business was just bringing people here into the state of Wisconsin, but then he realized he can book places like Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada, so many great places, and they even do international trips like the one we are doing to Scotland in October. Find out more, and you can pay today to sign up to play some of the greatest golf courses in the world in Scotland with myself and Stephen, part of the On the Tee trip we're taking in October to Scotland. Just text GOLF to 800-990-3776, G-O-L-F, 800-990-3776, and you can play in Scotland with us. And thanks to our friends at Wisconsin Golf Trips.
It started with a whisper.
On the Tee, presented by our friends at Wisconsin Golf Trips. Text GOLF, G-O-L-F, 800-990-3776. Find out more about the trip we are taking in October to Scotland, the home of golf, to play some of the greatest golf courses over there. If that's something you have always thought about, hey, join us. And you can find out more information. Again, text GOLF, 800-990-3776 to find out about our trip to Scotland presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips. It is prediction time. Thanks to our friends at Gruber Law Offices. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. Been a partner here with On the Tee every year that we've done the show. Who are you taking in the 2024 Masters?
All right, so I'm going to do a little build up here because I've been thinking about this really long and hard, and I talked earlier in the show about how this major always delivers, and star power has kind of been the headline for past major champions here at Augusta. I do think that we're going to have a star win this event. Dark horse for me this year is Will Zalatoris. He has played this twice, and in his 2 years, runner-up and T6. So those are his two finishes at Augusta. He looks to be back in pretty good form. He had a good start to the season this year. I don't think we're going to see Rory get, you know, the crown jewel of a Grand Slam in the game of golf.
Just saying, he had his best like iron strike in like 10 years at Valero.
Yeah, well, that was his first top 10 of the golf season as well.
Yeah, and now he's playing well. He's hot coming in.
I would love nothing more than to see Rory win at Augusta and complete the Grand Slam, because he deserves it, and what he's meant to the game of golf, and to join those illustrious other names that have finished off a Grand Slam. John Rahm, I just don't think he's ready for the season that he's had leading up to it. I do not think he will defend his title. Scottie Scheffler, it's hard to bet against him at this point. The biggest name and the biggest streak is, will Tiger make 24 consecutive cuts at Augusta National?
Yes.
I don't think he will. I'm being
just Debbie Downer over here. Like, this is the greatest week of the year, and you're just like,
I'm a realist.
You're just Mutomboing every fun idea out there. Oh, Rory's gonna suck. Tiger's gonna suck.
I'm in the prediction business. You know what I'm rooting for. I want to see Tiger and Rory and Jordan and everybody. I want to see the top of that leaderboard look like.
Seems like
the
you
red
wish,
wedding.
And seems like Taylor Gooch should be in this, just so you could pick Taylor Gooch, because that'd
I'm
be like the least fun thing to
Joaquin
do.
Joaquin Niemann. No, I'm just kidding. That is definitely not my pick. If he wins, then I'm quitting this show and this game. And
I mean, although he could win it, like to his credit, he's actually been playing good golf.
He hit
over
a 59
there.
Over at that other tour. But here's the thing, Gabe Neitzel. It's a very hard reality in this game, but Liv has delivered at major championships, and I do think Liv will deliver once again at Augusta National. My Gruber Law Office's one call, that's all pick is Brooks Koepka.
Because the crazy thing about Brooks is, like, you talk about, oh, this guy's not playing well. With Brooks, it doesn't matter. Because when we talk about the only thing that matters in the world of professional golf, men's professional golf right now, are the four majors and then the Ryder Cup. Like, if those are the only things that matter, he has been the only person where that has actually been true that I can think of. Because even though, yes, the majors were super important to Tiger, he still won a bunch of other times on the PGA Tour, and those events were clearly important to him. But he is literally the first golfer I can think of where, yeah, the only thing that actually matters to him are those four tournaments a year. And he has done the best of anyone I can think of who has made sure his game is peaking at that right time.
After he performed at the Masters when we had a show and he would go on to win the PGA Championship as well, I made a statement that I think he was going to be the bridge between LIV and the PGA Tour, and I still believe that because...
Rahm? Because now that Rahm signed over there, I think... And he kind of... Rahm said as much this week where he was kind of hoping that would be a bridge that could bring people together.
Maybe they are together because I think the Ryder Cup is such an important element in that bridge, and those are two guys... for the respective Ryder Cup teams.
And I think that's more important on the European side because Brooks was on the U.S. team last year.
And that's what I'm saying. I think Brooks has the ability to show that you can do both. And unfortunately, we're at a spot in this game right now where the majors are really the only things that matter. And the Ryder Cup. And Liv went out there and finished T2, and 4 between Koepka, Phil, and Patrick Reed last year at this event. In 9 appearances at the Masters, Brooks Koepka has top 12s in 4 of his last 6 starts, including 2 runners-up. He was a runner-up to Tiger in 2019 and last year to Rahm. So I think he is going to get his green jacket. I think he will be a 6-time major champion by the end of next weekend.
I am going with the pick that I've made last year, probably the year before that, maybe the year before that, and... I just feel like he's going to win another one, and I don't want to miss it when he does because he's been so close so many other times, and he almost has a Tiger and Phil thing going in that I think he's always going to play well here. I think he missed a cut a couple of years ago, but other than that, he's just top 10 machine at Augusta National. It feels like he's won more than the one that he had because he was so close in 14 when Bubba won. Then he won his going away in 15, and then probably should have won in 16 when he threw it away on 12 and Danny Willett was able to chase him down on that Master Sunday. So I think Jordan Spieth is going to pick up his second green jacket, his fourth major. I still, the highs are so high with him. The problem is the lows are so low and getting rid of the shots where...
That's the risk you run with the roller coaster ride that is Jordan Spieth.
He purposefully... hit it on a roof this weekend.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I sure did. I thought of you because I knew you were going to fix Spieth, and I was waiting for this moment to bring up and remind you of what he did over this past weekend. I don't know, man. Again, another guy I would love to see win. 11th Master appearance, top 4 finishes in 6 of his 10 starts.
Top 4. Top 4. Like, in half of his Master starts.
Outrageous finishes. I still don't think he's there yet. I think he's close.
I don't know.
But maybe this is the ballpark that is just different for him.
I think it is. You just rattled off those numbers. That, like, for whatever reason, Augusta speaks to him. And I think, again, it's part of Jordan Spieth doesn't have the prettiest swing. He's not a technical masterpiece. He doesn't have the perfect Adam Scott-esque swing. He's an artist.
Yeah.
And Augusta rewards artistry.
He's Picasso.
Yes.
He's the guy that's going to put it on a roof, but then he's going to get out of that pine straw on Sunday afternoon at Augusta.
He had an ace this weekend, too.
he had a hole in one, and then he ended on the top of a roof of a building. That is the Jordan Spieth experience.
Well, I love him. That's why I can't quit it. I can never quit.
He's an addiction.
He is. It absolutely is. And I can't wait for... if he wins, I may just sprint to your house and take a victory lap around the house.
I'll run with you, man, because I know I'll be entertained in the process.
Yes,
if Jordan were to win a Masters.
We love this week so much. We hope you enjoy it as well. We'll recap it all next week, normal time on Tuesday, here on The Tee.